We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
From Illinois Public Media, this is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon, I'm Celeste Quinn. Dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm are with us this afternoon. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, and they're here to answer questions about dogs, dog care, behavior, and training. Listeners, you can join us with a phone call or by email. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, if you'd like to talk with us, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Our toll-free number is 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. And the email, will-talk@illinois.edu, will-talk@illinois.edu. So good to see the two of you.
And it's good to see you as always, Celeste.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you.
The lead-in music was wistful and melancholy.
Melancholy?
Melancholy, yeah.
I went back this morning, and our first archived show, and I know that we did it well before we started archiving, was September 4th of 1998. 12 years.
Yeah.
That's pretty remarkable.
Well, I'm thinking that, and I have to go back and check this, but I think I've been doing this since May of 1993. And so I think the two of you were on board not long after that.
Mm-hmm.
Over in Greg Hall.
Yeah, we were in Greg Hall, yeah.
And
I got my car towed from that parking lot. Jim had to be in court. Remember that day?
Oh, yeah.
It was snowing. And, that was a fun day.
And Travis Stanzel, who was a student at the U of I, was my producer at the moment because we were, you know, in flux and we didn't know quite what was going to happen. And he said, well, these two people have called, and they want to be on the program, and they want to talk about dogs. And I said, well, okay.
Actually, it was Carol that called.
Was it Carol that called?
Could have been. I don't remember. Might have been. We were shopping our act around the time. Yeah.
So I said,
we were on the road.
All right, let's try it. And I came into the studio, and I had three pages of notes and questions, and Carol said, you're working way too hard.
we just make stuff up. We don't have to.
It's been years and years of fun. First Friday of every month.
Yeah, because you don't have to work for this show. You can just sit back and relax.
Yeah. So Thursday evening, before this show, I just put my feet up.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been a good time.
And you may have noticed, and it's true. Carol and I talked about this last night. We're doing this program entirely naked. Yeah.
And they are buff.
Yeah. I did a little extra workout this morning to look good.
We did talk about that because we are on the radio, so it really doesn't matter.
And you smell good, too.
Yes, so now everybody knows the secret why we've been on every month for all these years.
Anyone that calls in has to do likewise.
Okay. Well, probably we should let folks know that come Monday, Terry Gross will be in this spot here on the radio. And so what we're trying to do is move some of our regular afternoon magazine programs into focus. So we hope that the two of you will still have a presence with us. We're not quite sure what it will be, but
well, I think we're always on it. As Jim said, though, we might negotiate the price this time.
We've been here a decade and a half. I've never gotten any presents. Have you?
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh.
So sorry.
What, after I leave?
I got top billing. Maybe we should give our show a name if we come back.
I said the Jim Show with Carol.
And I just called the Carol Show with Jim. And everybody knows exactly what we're talking about.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. We do have that title, but we should come up with a title for an animal welfare, companion animal welfare program. Anyway, Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are with us this afternoon. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. Listeners, we hope to hear from you this afternoon with a telephone call, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area, toll-free 800-222-9455, 333-WILL, toll-free 800-222-WILL, and also by email, will-talk@illinois.org. EDU, and we have an email question.
Excellent.
Okay. This is the question. A common problem I see when I'm walking my dogs in the neighborhood is when my dogs or other dogs start barking and growling excitedly when they see another dog walking on the other side of the street. Please discuss the cause and handling of this kind of behavior. Thanks for airing this useful and entertaining program.
That must have been Mike Sola that sent that email.
No, it wasn't Mike.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I mind you that. Now, they'll be quiet until the dog that's walking across the street starts to bark. So I've got the opposite. They react rather than initiate. So I just hold on, tell them it's okay. It's better when you're walking in the day or if you can see ahead of you, if you've got traffic coming toward you in the form of a canine and a companion, mm-hmm. and you always carry treats in your pocket, then you reward your dog for their attention on you as opposed to attention on what's coming. Now, you know, realistically, they're going to pay attention to a dog walking across the street, but paying attention and lunging and barking are two entirely different things. And sometimes being on the leash contributes to that.
Why is that?
Because I was just reading about this the other day. It was very interesting. They get frustrated because they want to go and meet and greet, and they can't because they're attached by a leash to you, who, by the very nature of our beast, despite the best advice we give, tend to tighten up on the leash and maybe get a little agitated. And so then they become more frustrated because they want to meet and greet, but they understand that you're getting a little upset. And it all is because of that 6 feet of material between their collar and you. So it's something that we need to work on as a handler. And help the dog understand that, you know, just be cool.
I think very often it's not really a problem. As I've said before, people say to me, Jim, you're a dog trainer. How do I teach my dog not to jump up on me? And I go, why would you want to do that? If you ever notice motorcycle riders on the interstate, if they pass another motorcycle rider, they'll give each other a low five, even though the other person's, 100 feet away.
I never noticed that.
Oh, yeah. You'll notice it.
Oh, okay. Now I will.
And why? Because they recognize a fellow.
Right.
And that's what dogs are walking down the street. They see another dog. They have limited vocabulary. Mostly what they can say is arf, arf, arf. So they go, arf, arf, arf. And the other dog goes, arf, arf, arf. And I don't know what they're saying to each other, but it's, oh, you're a dog. Yes, I'm a dog. And you're a dog. Yeah. So unless there's some attempt to kill the other dog, I don't see it as a problem. It's just what dogs do.
I have a dog in my neighborhood that screams. She does not bark. She screams. It's a little schnauzer. And, you know, and both he and I are alert to the fact that one of us has to cross the street, and it's usually me, but that does not stop her from screaming. My dogs react to that because it's a high-pitched, shrill, it's a very unusual sound. They're used to me, yeah. You know, and we just keep on going.
Well, as you say, if the dog's doing that, it can be territorial, mm-hmm. Those kinds of things. And so what you do is you cheat when you're training. You cheat and you use the other dog, which is triggering this bad behavior, and you use it to trigger good behavior, which is to say, as you pointed out correctly, keep an eye out when you see another dog coming. You know your dog's going to. If you have such a dog, it's going to bark or scream. And as soon as you see your dog seeing the other dog, before they can scream or anything, you say, Fido, come here, and you give him a cookie. And if you have the timing down and you do that several times, pretty soon the dog learns, every time I see a dog coming the other way or across the street, I'm going to get a cookie.
And they'll come back to you.
They'll
get that
stop.
Cookie.
Stop looking at the dog across the street. And go, where's my cookie? Now you have to have a cookie.
But never leave the house without a pocket of something.
Oh, no. I've got a pocket full
of
miracles
right here.
Look at
this, Jim. We've got two calls.
Okay. They don't want to hear me anymore.
Okay. Well, let's take a call. A listener on line two. We're going to go to line two. Urbana, good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi.
I've got a question for the dog guy.
Uh-huh.
This is Easter, and my dog gets really, really excited about Easter because he really, really loves to eat Peeps. And every time I get a box of Peeps, he eats the whole box. Is it okay to let my dog eat Peeps? And if so, how many?
Peeps are a wonderful confection, and most civilized countries, of course, now have them. But I would not let a dog eat them. In fact, when I was a kid, it's not true, but my mother told me that if a dog eats candy, they'll get worms. So,
I remember that, too.
Yeah, it's a real bad idea. And
well, can you get worms from Peeps?
People can, I think.
What?
No, just kidding. I don't like Peeps. You love Peeps,
I
know.
Peeps,
he loves Peeps.
I don't care for Peeps.
I don't either.
Oh.
No, dogs don't get worms from Peeps. But it's too much sugar.
Yeah, it's not good for them.
Mm-mm.
There's a lot of calories, empty calories.
So where do you leave these Peeps that the dog can eat the whole box? I think he's gone.
I don't know. No, he's still there?
Yeah, I leave him on the kitchen table.
Oh.
Put him in the cupboard, I guess.
I guess.
Well, it's a big dog.
Is it a Newfoundland?
It is a Newfoundland.
This is a friend of ours, a friend of yours.
Thank you.
Well, he used to be a friend of mine, yeah.
That's why I guess he had to call in about the Peeps.
I told him this is our farewell, and he said, I'll give you a call.
And also, we've had a listener call in very nicely on line one. We're not going to take it on the air, but I want to thank the caller for the kind comments. They're going to miss us at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So some people are going to be happy to see Terry Gross in this time slot, and other people
name two
are not so happy. But that's the way the peep goes stale. No,
it's
that's the way
nature
the cookie
of the beast.
Goes crumbles.
In fact, peeps are much better when they're stale.
When they're stale,
mm-hmm. Yeah. People are passionate about those things. They love them.
There are websites devoted
somebody,
to them.
Oh, the peep websites are hilarious. But there's somebody, they microwave them on a plate until they're all spread out and gross, and then they eat them. And
up in Chicago, they had peep diorama contests, and they put peeps in various situations. Like
I saw that. Did you
salon.
Ever look at the peep website?
No, but there was
a piece in the
newspaper recently about people who get peeps, and then they dip them in chocolate and put sprinkles on them and...
I know that woman. It was in the article.
Yeah.
Oh, look. Look at that. Celeste, he belongs to the Peeps fan club.
Oh, my goodness. He's a card-carrying member of the Peeps fan club.
I am,
He's such a nerd.
Wow. You need to sign this, though, because you don't want it to fall into the wrong hands.
I can't believe you're such a nerd. You've got this in your wallet.
I have signed it, but it's plastic, and it just keeps rubbing off.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are with us this afternoon. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, and they're here with us this afternoon to talk about dogs. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, I invite you to join us with a phone call, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area, toll-free 800-222-9455. You may also join us by email, the address will-talk@illinois.edu. And I hope we'll hear from some other callers this afternoon. And we've got a call coming in. We do have a couple of calls coming in. And as soon as Henry is able to get those lined up, we'll go and talk to those listeners. A couple of tips here about working with children in terms of how they should approach dogs. I've seen the last couple of days, the weather has been so lovely. The kids are just out in droves, and they're on bikes and skates and all kinds of things.
I'm going to show you a picture from orientation last night.
Okay.
We had orientation last night, and it was good. And there were some hilarious moments, so I'm going to look this picture up while Jim answers your question.
You have to remember that children don't act like adults, and if a dog is used to adult human behavior, they may be startled by kids because kids are loud and they're quick. And I remember years ago, They're laughing at the picture, not at me, I think. Years ago, when my nieces and nephews were little, we had our big dogs, and they said, oh, can you let them run loose with us? And I said, okay, two rules. One, you can't scream.
Oh, this story.
And you can't run. We promise, Uncle Jim, so we take the dogs off the leash. And they screamed at the top of their voices and started to run. And, of course, the dogs are three times their size, and all I could see is the dog, you know, whamming into them. But that's what, you know, their attentions, the attention spans, and I'm talking about the kids, aren't very long. And they weren't screaming in fear. They were screaming because they were so excited.
In delight.
Yeah.
It was, okay, so I showed Celeste the picture of the little girl in the dog crate last night. Mm-hmm. Her mom was a vet, so it was very funny. And the kids are very accustomed to dogs and crates and that kind of thing. But I couldn't resist the picture of her in the crate. But her kids were great around the dogs. But still, the youngest one, she just was walking, was very excited to see Hannah's dog and stroked him very nicely. But still the squealing and high-pitched noises. And that's just, you know, the way it is when they're that little.
So you really got to keep an eye on them. And you never, ever...
Leave them alone together.
Leave dogs alone with children or vice versa.
Mm, okay.
Ever.
Well, we've got three calls. Henry's got them all ready to go for us.
Good.
So first we're going to go to a listener on line two in Champaign. Hi.
Hello.
Hello
I have a Harrier who's about 9 months old, and she's been through dog training. She's, you know, been through several times, but she's, you know, she even got her what they call...
CDC.
Good citizen thing, but she really needs more training, and I want to know what classes you have. Should we start all over again or what?
Well, we have progressive classes. If she has her CGC, my guess is she can go into...
Sub-novice.
Yeah, we've got... And I don't like the names. We have beginning novice and advanced novice.
We change them all the time. It's the same animal and different name. We can't find a name we like.
What's advanced novice? Either you're novice or
you're ready to.
I know. We were talking about the names last
time. I think at 9 months old, and sub-novice is full. But I think, you know, a nine-month-old dog.
Of any breed.
But it's, you know, you got to get into the mindset that you don't go from one class to the next. It's not like the academic world for people.
As you know, hounds are incredibly stubborn, and as soon as they learn something, they've got, I've got that. I'm not going to do that anymore.
They're very difficult to train. And a Harrier, of course, is bred to work independent of the handlers.
Absolutely.
And so...
And she does.
Yeah, well, exactly. And as I say, Malamutes essentially are the same, and a lot of dogs, I say, if you're happy, they're happy, and if you're not happy, they're still happy. So it makes it hard to train them. Not that they're stupid, it's just they don't see the point.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I'm going to chase the fox. You stay here and, you know, get the fire ready.
And why in the world do I need to heal without
What's the point of this? And so it's hard, but even hounds can be trained. It's just any nine-month-old dog is difficult to train.
Afghan hounds were great. They were easy to train, actually, compared to some dogs, but this one is not.
Mm-hmm. But if she has her CGC, we have classes. There's an app for that. We have classes.
My gosh, I can't believe you. An app for that?
Yeah.
I don't want an after that.
No.
Before that again.
You know what would be something you might want to think about doing that's so different would be pet therapy. If that would intrigue you at all. I mean, that would require her, of course, to be well-mannered and a good ambassador, but pet therapy is an area you might want to go into.
I would like to, actually. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's a very friendly dog. She needs to calm down.
Yeah. And, you know, to do pet therapy, she does it relatively calm.
Can you go into agility with a CGC or do you
probably sub-novice first.
Tell me what to do and when it meets, and I'll just sign up for it.
Okay.
Okay, well, classes are unfortunately starting this week, and I would recommend you go through Home Companion a second time.
Okay.
Because it's a fun thing.
Do you have any openings in that?
Well, I don't know. We just had orientation last night.
Yeah, go to our webpage and get a hold of our registrar. And
what's your webpage? Your registrar is hard to get a hold of. I tried it before. That's why I got dog training somewhere else. Yeah. I just gave up.
It's DTCCU. Okay.
Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana.
.net.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Great at answering questions, and I appreciate your help. I've been listening to you for years.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you can Google Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. Mm-hmm. In fact, right. I Googled it just the other day, and it's like you start Dog Training Club, and it's like one of the top.
Yeah.
It's one of the top things that
top
come
hits.
Up.
It is.
And the other thing is, as I was looking through the webpage, I think that you can actually see online what classes are full.
That's true.
Okay. And that, what and where there are possibilities.
But it always helps to get a hold of the registrar because mm-hmm. we were just talking, some people have dropped out of classes and moved to different classes, so they're even online unless they've updated it very recently.
Yeah, and I had some of my classes that didn't show up last night and haven't paid, so they may have moved. I mean, they sometimes sign up for these classes months prior to them beginning, so.
Yeah. Also, there are other dog trainers mm-hmm. in the community as well.
No, any
the,
place you
no,
can
there
go
aren't.
Check us.
There are no other. We're at.
Let's take another call. A listener in Urbana, line 3. Hi.
Hi. I was listening to y'all talk earlier about the dogs that get excited on their walks. Mm-hmm. And my dog, fairly large, she's a mixed breed, pretty much a pound puppy. And she loves to see other large dogs on her walks, and you know, she goes and touches noses, and they sniff and say hi or whatever they say. And but it's these smaller dogs. She tries to attack them. It's the very small, you know, the frou-frou dog. She kind of thinks that they're a snack that she needs to chase down. And I didn't know if there was something that could be done about that.
It's hard to say whether she's reacting to the smell of the dog or just the visual. And my guess is she sees something small. And her first reaction is to go after it, as if it were a rabbit or something like that. If she had,
I mean, she chases squirrels and things in
sure.
the yard, but I didn't know if that's what she was thinking.
It may be. And if she had the opportunity to smell the little dog, she'd probably go, oh, this is a dog. So, yeah, you have a problem. And the solution is the same as if she was barking in an annoying way, and that is she sees the little dog and you anticipate she's seeing it. You say, Fifi, come here, and you give her a cookie so that every time she sees a small dog, she turns to you and you can have her sit and you can get things under control and maybe introduce the small dog that way instead of just having her react.
See, I had the okay. same problem with Andy and rabbits walking. When she'd see a rabbit, there was absolutely no reasoning with her. She would leap in the air. And so I, you know, I always carry treats anyway, but I carry them especially in those. Now, it's hard enough to see a dog coming a block away. Try looking for rabbits. But, you get used to that because I don't want to deal with it after the fact. I want to prevent it from occurring. So then she would react to sprinkler heads and anything that looked, because you know how rabbits get so still and motionless.
Mm-hmm.
But it took a while, but we did manage to get over the fact that she reacted so violently to a rabbit.
Maybe if you fed her once in a while.
It is pretty violent. She, you know, bares her teeth and like she's really going hunting.
Yeah, you need to really work on that with her.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for the call this afternoon. When you say it took a while, how long did it take, Carol?
Well, I would say a year.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. You know, being real honest.
Mm-hmm. That's one thing you can't – we always say if you're training a dog, you have to control the circumstances. So knocks on the door if the dog barks, have a friend knock on the door on your cue, and that way you're ready to train the dog. With rabbits,
Yeah,
you just have to wait for them to come along.
I know there's no, the rabbits are far and few between in the wintertime, and now they're just so mm-hmm. abundant, and they are throughout the spring, and then tapers off in the fall.
But every 48 years, Champaign-Urbana is overrun with rabbits.
But it's something that I work on all the time. But and she walks in a gentle leader, which of course Jim couldn't tolerate.
I love gentle leaders.
But she, I was afraid that unless I saw it first, that she could hurt herself because she's wearing that. So it was a training of myself to be cognizant of where I was and, mm-hmm. and the bunny rabbits, keeping an eye on her if she'd alert to one first, and then working that behavior to our advantage. But it didn't happen in a week, I can guarantee
that. Well, the woman
who
just called, probably it would be good if she could have a friend with a small dog,
mm-hmm.
and that way she can control the circumstances.
Or take a class where there's bound to be small dogs and mm-hmm. work with a dog there. Not at the expense of the small dog, but...
Let's take another call. Listener in Urbana on line one. Hello.
Hello. I heard you talking about don't give the dogs peeps. What are peeps?
Peeps is a confection. It's a sugar-coated marshmallows in the form of little chickens, and they're yellow. They have yellow dye and yellow sugar on them, and they come out at Easter time.
So you buy these at the candy store, or you buy them at the grocery store?
You can buy them anywhere.
Wherever they sell candy.
But if you haven't heard of them, you haven't tried them, you haven't missed anything either, in my opinion.
Okay.
And right after Easter, next Monday, the discount on them is tremendous. You can get cases and cases for like 50 cents. And that's when Robin goes and buys them. And
no wonder.
I am old. I'm not a kid anymore. And they give me an upset stomach, and I still eat them.
So Tuesday night, we had to call him from our board meeting, but he had been to the dentist, which peeps don't contribute to the healthy well-being of your teeth. Peeps are bad.
Thank you. I already have a mother.
Okay. I guess we'll go on to another call.
So they're just candy.
Yeah, they're marshmallow.
Made like chickens or something.
Yeah. Well, they've expanded their market. They have Halloween peeps now.
And Christmas peeps.
Christmas peeps. But they're not the original true peeps.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you.
Okay. What a service, huh?
You know, I was thinking this morning of all the shows we've done, how we've laughed and we cried and rolled our eyes and got mad and... But we've never been asked what a peep was.
Well, let's take another call, and then we've got another email question that's come in. Line 2, Champagne, hi.
Good afternoon. Gosh, I'm going to miss you guys. And beyond peeps, I'm wondering if there might be a CD compilation in your future. It's been an excellent show, and we'd love to keep up with it any way we could.
Well, we're Carol archived on WLL.
Yeah, Carol and I have an agent, and... she's negotiating with the station, and we've had a minimal salary the years we've been here, so we're trying to get more money, too.
Well, of course, I understand. You realize that this is actually April 2nd.
This is not an April Fool's joke.
Not in China, is it?
Well, anyway, it has been fabulous. And I thank you so much for all the years.
Well, thank you.
And look for Carol and Jim and other people to talk about companion animals on Focus, which is our morning telephone talk program. So I think chances are very good that Carol and Jim will be with us.
We just
got to work out this deal with the agent, and maybe would she?
But you are serious.
Yeah. No. Yeah. We're just kidding.
Okay.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Sure, okay.
She's
okay.
Kidding. I'm not.
Do you think this agent of yours would take me on?
could be
a package deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
We could become like the
Don't
John
Don't you think
Katz.
I sing like Johnny Mathis?
No, Johnny Mathis did not cross my mind at all.
I'm chattling. Okay. Johnny Mathis.
You ready for a nice email from...
Yes.
Okay. This is actually coming to us from Vienna, Austria.
No way.
Yes. Hello, I am writing to you from Vienna, Austria, and I'm listening to the Afternoon Magazine on the Internet. It is always a very nice evening entertainment for me. I listen to WILL because I grew up in Gifford, Illinois, and attended the U of I. Here's my question. I'm blind and have a wonderful guide dog named Arla. Sometimes when traveling, it's difficult for me to find an area where I can get out with her so she can relieve herself. Especially if the city is unfamiliar. In situations like that, it would sure be nice to somehow have the dog be able to relieve herself without having to leave my hotel room. Are you aware of any special dog diapers or any type of equipment that would facilitate this? Thanks, and I promise to still listen to your show, which will actually take place in the afternoon for me. That will be Focus.
Well, I was thinking if he's in a hotel, the concierge would... probably be of assistance. That would be the first person I would think of. Guide dogs are large dogs, and I'm sure that they sell diapers for dogs, but the training involved in a guide dogs are extremely well trained to eliminate.
Still have to have somebody eliminate the elimination.
Yeah, but they eliminate on command?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
But
I think they respond to a command. But you know, to teach a dog to that's very well house trained to then eliminate in a diaper when it's not incontinent, I don't.
It's a real problem. We've shipped dogs out from O'Hare, and the regular United States terminal where you're not leaving the country, there's just no grass around there at all. The international terminal, we can go out. There's some nice grass. But even if you don't have a – if you're sighted and you have a, don't have a guide dog, it's still difficult to find places to exercise the dog.
Yeah, Carol, didn't you tell a story once about a friend of yours who
it was on the Today Show.
And the dog were on the Today Show and in New York, and they actually hailed a cab and went to – they had to find a park.
I think – didn't they go to Central Park? Because he had never eliminated on a surface other than grass, and he hadn't gone to the bathroom for like 2 days. So she had to take him to a park. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were on the Today Show. That was our claim to fame from Champaign-Urbana. But, it proved to be a problem. And that, you know, led us into away from his question, but to get your dog to eliminate on variable surfaces is helpful.
What about puppy pads?
Well, you know, the problem is these are large dogs. And
The guide dogs are generally the size of a Labrador or something like German Shepherd. And when they potty, it's no minor event. And trying to deal with that in an apartment, unless you could teach the dog to use the toilet.
This would be a good question that he could pose to the source from which he obtained this dog, because I'm certain he's not alone with this problem, but I don't know. They have litter boxes for dogs, but these are very small dogs, and dogs aren't cats and don't really adapt to using a litter pan. But
okay. And in the meantime, I guess when you check in, you would want to check in with the concierge or someone else.
I would, yes.
Yeah, and say, where would you recommend we go that would be friendly for the dog and that would be something like what? And there are those at home.
There are probably dog walking services in any large city.
That's a good thought, Jim. I hadn't thought about that. Good one.
Okay.
Gifford. Wow.
How about that?
And
ended up in Vienna.
Vienna, Austria.
Vienna. Wow.
I'm sure they don't have peeps there.
Way
in
cool.
Vienna?
It's no. Way cool.
I think they have
If they don't have peeps,
pastries.
They should have. So.
Oh, you should bring out our picture. He's on his PDA, he had our official WILL picture that we were looking at last night.
Well, we're wearing clothes in this picture.
Oh, that's
so
right.
It's not, it may look a little different, but.
In the meantime, let me reintroduce our guests. Our guests are Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, I invite you to join us this afternoon by telephone or email with questions about dogs. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. The email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. I have this photo on my desk.
Mm-hmm.
And
isn't
actually,
that a nice
I showed it to Harriet this afternoon. I said, look at these
and
beautiful dogs.
And look, we
dogs.
Have not changed a bit, have we?
We haven't aged at all. It's
you know
amazing.
What? We should get this photo back up on the web page because it was online for a little while.
But we don't have a show.
We'll fix that. We got that agent working.
That's right.
Right.
Okay. Sad those dogs aren't with us
have
anymore.
Have your people contact my people.
That's right.
Jim, is this duct tape on your PDA?
It is.
Oh
yes.
Oh my God.
Let's take another call. We've got a call coming in on line one.
It's the handyman's secret
Henry's
weapon.
Getting the caller ready to go. Line one, Urbana. Hi.
Hi, I guess that's me.
That's you.
I just tuned in, so I don't know if you've talked about anything like this, but I have a little poodle. He's a year old, and he barks loudly at every movement outside the house, and he just barks in general. Sometimes I can't figure out the reason for his barking, and I am wondering how to train him not to bark so much, or if that's even possible. I don't know if that's even possible.
What have you been doing up till now?
Telling him to be quiet.
Anything else?
No.
And what does he do when you tell him to be quiet?
He barks. Doesn't mind me. And, well, I do distract him, you know, if he's barking, and he doesn't really mind me because he doesn't have a clue what I mean, I think. But then I try to distract him, you know, play with him, throw him a ball, something like that.
That's good. When people come to the door, what does he do?
Oh, he goes nuts.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, he said knowingly.
And he's only a year old, right?
Yeah, and people walk by on the sidewalk. A squirrel goes across the driveway. And he's, for a little dog, he's just got largest bark.
Well, what we think, or at least what I think.
It's what you think, but I agree.
Yeah.
That?
Poodles are rotten, no good dogs to begin with.
No.
No.
He's so smart.
That's not true.
They're wonderful dogs. He's just kidding.
I love poodles, as a matter of fact. I love poodles. But they do. Some of them do tend to bark, especially the small ones. What we think is that essentially what and you say we don't know why what he's saying when he barks. That's true. But he's probably trying to alert you to some danger outside. A squirrel. You can't trust squirrels.
No,
people,
for sure.
People walking by. And to go into some history, and this is only theory, but, you know, 15,000 years ago, probably these animals were selected because they did bark at strangers.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of built into a lot of dogs. What you should do, instead of saying be quiet, and of course the dog doesn't speak English, so it doesn't know what you mean, but don't criticize the dog, praise the dog. Counterintuitive, praise the dog.
And say thank you, which
what
means
a good dog.
Nothing either.
You have alerted me to that terrible danger outside. Good dog, good dog. Because what essentially the dog is doing is saying, look out, there's a squirrel,
right.
look out.
Yeah, I understand
yeah.
that. He's very earnest about
sure.
it. Sure. You know, he'll
and
run
you,
back to
what,
me and bark.
But what a lot of people do is they try to shut the dog up, and the dog's going, no, you don't understand. There's danger. So you say, thank you for alerting me. Now, and it's nice to have a rug or a place, lead the dog over there, have him sit or down, whatever he knows, mm-hmm. and give him a cookie.
Mm.
All right? And we were talking about this a little bit earlier, but you should have a friend come to your door and on your signal knock. Your dog will run to the door, start arf, 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 arf. You say, good dog, thank you for the alerting me to the danger at the door. Take him over to the little pad, sit, here's a cookie. Signal your friend to knock again. And that would be a training session.
Right.
Okay, so you're in control of...
And when they knock again, he should stay on the pad?
No, he can run to the... There's no problem with him running to the door.
Oh,
it's just when you say thank you, he should run back to the pad.
Okay. That's a good idea. That would also keep him from jumping all over the person who's...
Exactly. And he has to stay there while the person comes in. And
idea.
Then you go through that. Of course, he's going to break and run to the person, and you can gently lead him back, say, no, you have to stay here.
And let the person greet him, too, because
mm-hmm.
he
mm-hmm.
wants to meet and greet. He's not going to tear their throat out. So,
yeah.
You know, let him be greeted and make a no-fuss, low, calm mm-hmm. environment.
I think the word here is calm because the dog's excited, and when you yell at the dog or do you know try to calm him down or push him down, you're just adding to the excitement.
Yeah.
So if you're calm, come over here, sit. But as we say, when you're training a dog, you want to be in control of the variables and not just wait till somebody comes to the door and or wait for
no.
a squirrel.
No, I can arrange for that.
Sure.
Yeah.
But,
my grandkids are coming for the weekend.
Well, so. There you go.
But be patient because barking is self-rewarding too. So
that's what I noticed.
Yeah.
That it makes him really happy.
It's kind of like with Jim and me on the radio. There are some people that would rather face a firing squad than sit here and talk for an hour. For people that enjoy talking, this is a great way to spend some time. So it's
another thing you can
not
do.
Not a good correlation,
you can try to do is teach your dog to bark on command.
Mm-hmm.
So the dog's barking. You go, good dog. Give him a cookie and give him some word like bark or talk
speak.
Or something. Speak. That would be a good one. And when they're barking, then you give them a command to stop barking and give them a cookie, like stop.
Yeah, because he does. He one thing that I take care of a 2.5-year-old, and she loves to play with him, and she gets him. She knows how to wind him up
mm-hmm.
until he's barking and dancing and.
Well, mentally, they're about the same age.
Yeah, it shows.
Yeah, and but, so they probably relate pretty well.
Yeah, but he gets really excited, and I just have to separate them.
Well, he's only a year old, so you've got to bear that in mind as well.
Yeah, I'm wondering about getting another small dog that he has so much energy that he maybe needs more stimulation than...
I always recommend, getting another dog to anybody. The danger, of course, is instead of having one excitable dog, you'll have two.
You'll get a smaller, older, calmer dog.
Good idea.
Maybe a... What's a calmer, small dog?
Well, you can, all poodles don't bark like that.
No, I had a poodle many years ago that was really well-mannered. And,
sure. And if you get an older dog, and it doesn't, they've already lived through, 1 year old is still a puppy.
And the shelter, for example, lately has had a proliferation of small adult dogs.
Oh, the local shelter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I should go over
go
there.
Go online and look first, and
oh, you
see.
Can do that?
Oh, sure. CUHumane.org. CUHumane.org.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
You are welcome.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Let's take another call. Line 2, Champaign. Hi.
Hi. I am affiliated with the Champaign County Humane Society and have been for the past several years.
Oh, I think I recognize his voice.
Yes. Hi, Carol. And I just wanted to thank you, Celeste, and WILL, and Carol and Jim for doing this show for so many years, because the primary reason that dogs end up at animal shelters is due to behavior problems, and it's a great community service to have you guys talking about these dog behavior issues and helping people understand that it's not always that the dog is bad, but it's that, we don't understand what they're trying to tell us. And so I just wanted to thank you for all the years that you've been
doing
this. It's been a great service. And it's helped a lot of people.
Now, do you have a nice, calm, small, older dog back there in the kennel? Because she's on her way.
Well, good. I'm sure we do. I'm not familiar with everybody in the shelter right now, but we have, as you said, we've been getting a much greater variety of sizes of dogs in the past several months. So we often have small dogs up for adoption. And if we don't have anything right now, just keep checking back with us, because the population changes every day.
Well, thank you, Teef. We appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Thanks
you're welcome.
For the call this afternoon. So that's Teef?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to meet with her on Monday afternoon.
You'll love her. She's great.
I'm going to volunteer.
I heard that.
Yeah.
It's a small community.
I'm excited about
that. There are
no
secrets.
Well, I'm really looking forward to that. And that's one of the things that's come out of being with you guys for so many years. And you have helped a lot of people and a lot of animals. Right?
Oh, what's our little friend in Marseille? Casey? Look at Casey.
Yeah, Casey.
14 years old now, 13 or 14.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And that was one of the first
calls. That was one of the first calls.
Yeah,
that's true.
Okay.
Little Casey.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. Our guest today, Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign, Urbana. And we've gotten a response back by email from the fellow in
Vienna?
Mike from Vienna.
Oh.
And he says, thanks for responding, though not all of your suggestions are going to be applicable in some of my venues, especially in Eastern Europe. So, and then he writes, sadly, peeps can be had and are enjoyed by expats, though I myself hate them. Why would you be in Vienna? I don't know. Maybe you're homesick or something, but why wouldn't you have wonderful
dark-roast
coffee and chocolate? And
yeah, a couple of years ago, Robin went to Salzburg and came back with chocolates from Salzburg, and they were wrapped in Mozart wrappers. They weren't as good as Peeps, I thought.
She was trying to elevate his pedestrian taste in Peeps.
Well, it's to each...
Carol
to
has
each his own.
Carol has something to say in her
but
capacity as president
it.
Of the club.
I forgot. We were laughing so hard last night about it. What was it, Jim? Remind me. Seriously.
The health day we're having at the dog
club.
Oh,
health care. Obamacare for dogs. We're offering that July 10th, and it's going to be great. We're bringing all these people into the dog training club. We're going to have a cardiologist that will do OFA heart exams. We'll have surf exams, eyes by a certified ophthalmologist for dogs, and we'll get the information out to the community and beyond.
I think we're going to try to have
audiologists for
ears. No, the thing you put in the dog, microchipping.
Okay. We'll have a mobile veterinarian that will do vaccinations.
When and where is this?
July 10th at the Dog Training Club, and it's going to be a health care day. And we called it last night, we called it Obamacare for dogs. But we will get information out via all the venues that we have.
Keep an eye on our website.
On our website.
Okay, very good. Hey, what about Mutt Strut? Mutt Strut.
That's easy for you to say.
April 24th. And, Jim, I think we were going to talk about having a table there for you and me. But Mutt Strut is April 24th at Hessel Park. Information can be found on the Humane Society website, cuhumane.org. And for those of you that, aside from my radio companion here, that eschews, whatever, Facebook. Facebook is a great venue for finding out about all these events in the community. Mutt Strut's there.
Well, the markets are closed today in observance of Good Friday, so we've got some extra time.
Oh, you know, you get so nice? I feel like Pavlov's dog because I keep looking at the clock.
You were starting to worry. You were looking at me.
Yes, I'm not getting the hand across the throat.
Well, we got to go.
We got to go.
Not yet.
So we've enjoyed this, too, and I hope that we can have a presence again because I think people.
Once again, I've never gotten any presents.
I think people do enjoy our show.
And we've got a few more minutes left today with Jim and Carol as the markets are closed. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Toll-free 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. Email will-talk@illinois.edu. Any other special events coming up in the
classes just start, but oh, we have. I was telling my new class last night. We have an Earth Dog Trial at the Dog Training Club, and I believe that's April 24th. Conflicts with Mutt Strut, but it's a very unique event. The following weekend we have our agility trials. All these things are fun for the public. Just come out and watch. The healthcare thing I'm getting pretty enthused about because. We don't have a cardiologist here in the community any longer, so many, many breeds
budgeting
and many—
Budgeting problems.
Budgeting problems. You're familiar with that, but bringing a cardiologist to campus, to the dog club, is fabulous because they'll do— I know Robbie had to have his go through a heart certification through the OFA. Eyes are important to be done. These are for people. These are for serious dog hobbyists.
Is it OFA or CHIPS?
OFA. OFA for heart, SURF for eyes. Those are acronyms that people can look. We have a call.
We do. I also wanted to mention very quickly that usually at the farmer's market there's a dog rescue group or the Humane Society or you guys or somebody there, and that's a nice opportunity for people to
That's something
to
we
stop by and ask a question or see what's going on.
Our membership, we have a new outreach committee. And it just, the thought flitted through my brain the other night that farmer's market once a month would be ideal to have a dog training club there and a representative. Okay. So,
and that the market at the square starts, I believe, May 1st. So coming right up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's take another call. A listener in Urbana, line one. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
You were talking about getting a second dog, and we've been thinking about getting a second dog. And is there any point where you feel like you shouldn't? Are there any behaviors that you feel... would not be good for getting another dog. We have a husky shepherd something mix, and when she sees another dog, she does that high-pitched barking.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, trying to figure out ways to socialize her with another dog, but she just gets overexcited every time. Aside from that, she's a wonderful dog. We have two young children, and she's just wonderful, and she's well-behaved, and she does tend to bark when people walk by the yard. But
see, I just think there's no real downside to me to having more than one dog, unless the dog that you choose is the second dog and they don't get along, but that's just a matter of personality. I love having more than one dog. Jim probably hasn't experienced not having more than one dog in his adult lifetime.
I think in 40 years we've never had.
But there's, to me, only pluses to be had from that.
Yeah, we have a lot of dogs.
But it's finding the dog that's compatible with your current dog. So
right. If
you go to the shelter, one of the requirements before you adopt a second dog is a dog-dog introduction, so they get to meet one another. That doesn't guarantee that they're going to be passionately in love with each other, but you can determine if there is some compatibility that's readily apparent when they first meet.
The easiest way to do it is if you have a boy dog, get a girl dog, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. That's always better than same sex.
Yeah, because...
I shouldn't say always, but more often better than same sex.
Yeah, for the most part. Years and years ago, we gave a Malamute to somebody who had a Chihuahua male, and the Malamute was a female. And I never thought in a million years that that was going to work, because the male got all the way down on the ground, and she was still taller than the Chihuahua. But they lived together for 10 or 12 years very happily. But it was a boy-girl match, and dogs tend to look at that more than they do size.
Right. Oh, really?
Yeah, there aren't many downsides, but I have to say I've had a couple dogs when we had that few, and they can feed off of each other, so sometimes their bad habits are exaggerated instead of their good ones, so... Just because you have another dog doesn't mean everything's going to be beer and Skittles. I mean, you still have to do a little bit of training.
Yeah, it's that first impression that I'm just kind of dreading because of the way she just gets all excited.
Oh, you know, if you go to the shelter for another dog, they have people there that will facilitate the introduction, so it's not going to fall solely on your shoulders to make certain everything's okay. So.
Well, there was a one that I had in mind, and it was a female, and it's two, where mine is one and a half. And she's supposedly very calm and everything, but
that's what you, is your well, go out
and,
as a male.
Yeah, go out and meet her first.
Yeah,
and then
introduce them on a neutral place.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it's a crazy mix up, then is it worth trying again or is
sure?
It,
I mean, that dog may not work, but another dog may.
I imagine there's going to be a lot of energy when they first meet. They'll be excited to meet each other, but as they get used to each other, of course, that subsides.
And then once you get them home, just don't really leave them alone.
We gave a female Malamute to friends of ours that had a male Malamute, and we said, just let them do whatever they want when they first meet. Well, he said he's probably going to jump on her. And he jumped on her and stood over her, and she screamed like a banshee. And that lasted for 30 seconds. Then they both got up and ran around the house and had a good old time. He just wanted to establish himself as the dominant one.
Right.
And they lived together for years after that. So it's what I mean. When they first meet each other, let them do their dog thing.
Okay.
And think about, you know, the logistics of your house and you've got young
and
children.
Kids,
and,
right.
you know, do you want to introduce a dog the same size or a smaller dog or an older dog or a younger dog? You know, you're taking something into your home, another being, for the next 15 years. So give it the amount of time and effort and energy that that's going to deserve.
Right. And she loves to run, loves to play, and that's why I thought something her – size might be good rather than something smaller.
It's not essential, but it not significantly smaller. In other words, that could keep up with her.
40 pounds.
Yeah.
Right.
But I wouldn't get a Chihuahua, for example. That worked out once, but who knows?
Nice.
Well, good luck.
Thank you very much.
And we could say at one point, call us back and tell us how it worked out, but we can't say that anymore.
We can't say when, but we will say.
You can call us back. We just won't be here.
Oh, sorry. Glad to hear it. You have a great show.
Well, thanks for the call this afternoon. And do keep an eye out for Jim and Carol on Focus. And I'll be in the hosting seat, I hope.
That would be so fantastic.
Yeah. So don't, you know, it's not... like forever.
Oh, we're just playing on the public sympathy today.
Well, we've got to wrap up here now because we're out of time. And Henry Frayne has a little... sending us out on a...
wistful and melancholy.
Yes.
It's been a great run, huh?
Yep.
Thanks so much. And...